All right. This was by Srini Kunduro. He's an assistant professor at Fresno State. Famiko, that's Mickey's wife. I'll not attempt the last name. And Mickey Paggy, all from Fresno State. This was an article that was written by Christine Prentice. I don't think I've seen her. From Thomson Reuters. And it says Turkey's consumption has exceeded China's. And that was in a week of export sales. And Turkey bought more than China did. When you look at a marketing year to date, China is still far ahead of Turkey. But the point was made that in a marketing week, I think it was December the 19th, that Turkey did buy more cotton than China. These are some quick statistics about Turkey. The production is quite small, 6.2 million according to USDA in 2013, about 8% of their GNP, and they imported about 3.3 million bales in 2002, but since their consumption's up, they're likely going to import even more, and most of that will likely come from the U.S. These are the cotton regions in Turkey, the Aegean and Izmir. I have actually been to that area and seen the cotton production. Antalya, I have not been. I have been there. And then further east, I have not. The most popular varieties, you can read those as well as I am, but a couple of points to glean from here. The production, as we look back at the slide here, in the Aegean region is where the best quality of cotton comes from and the highest gin turnouts here. Some of them are 41, 42% lint turnout. Pretty good turnout, pretty good quality. These are the Turkish cotton regions by area, and what Mickey was really trying to answer in this research is, what caused the shift in production by region that we just looked at, and what does the future hold for increased production? That's where he was trying to, that's the two basic, let's drill it down to there, what he was trying to answer. Here again, just some USDA, Turkish area. What seems to be the main reason that production has shifted to that gap area, and when you look at it in Turkish, GAP would be how it would turn out. I won't even attempt to try and say what the gap stands for in Turkish. Then just some minor things that may be affecting this later. As you know, Turkey applied for membership in the EU and was turned down. Will they get in the future? That's not going to be the subject of today's discussion. The competition from corn and beans, and if they were in the EU, the cap policy for all, the common ag policy for all farms in the European Union. This is the gap region, as you see in that second paragraph. I certainly can't pronounce that, but that's why they call it the gap region. It has a very historically high Kurdish population. They think the Kurds apparently feel that the government higher-ups, bureaucrats in Ankara are out to get them because they haven't really been consulted as to what they want going on in that area. There have been billions of dollars spent to ramp it up through irrigation, dams constructed, that kind of thing. This seems to be why production is shifting in that way. It also has Syria to the south and Iraq to the southeast, who are livid that they were never consulted about this gap region either. And it includes both the delta areas of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. As you can see, much better than what I have described. This is a little girl standing there. This is some of the irrigation dam work that they're having. Another dam. Water collection. This is an aerial view. What seems to be is that the investments in the gap region are why production has shifted there. And this may be a problem in the future for the textile industry because the quality of the cotton is less from that area. if we look at about $25 billion in the last three decades, if we look at accession of Turkey into the EU, which was where we ran a simulation analysis, competition from corn and beans, and looked at the cap policy for the European Union. We did, this was rapid rural appraisal, focus groups set up, and most of them were 5 to 7 farmers in summer 2013, where they meet with, they meet in focus groups with farmers. Then there's seed dealers they meet with, fertilizer people, government people who set, who help set up these meetings and transport them back and forth. So everybody kind of had a little bit of a say-so in how it went. Most of the groups were in the Izmir area and the Adana area, and further over on this map here, Aleppo's in Syria, but further over would be where the Gap region is. These are just some pictures of when Mickey was meeting with some of those folks. Here's some more. Now, the meat of the look at, these are, when you take all those focus groups and put together, this is what came up with in the James Richardson way of doing things. This is the representative farms for Turkey. Gross profit doesn't look too bad. When the simulation models were run, net income, cash flow, financial ratios, all these were dependent variables. Notice here in the Common Ag Policy, Turkish cotton producers reported government support of 24 cents per kilogram of seed cotton. Seed cotton, notice that we don't use that term here much. We price lint. In the European Union, where I was last year visiting with growers in Greece and Spain, what keeps them in production, according to the Spanish and the Greeks, is the $320 an acre they get from the European Union as the cap payment. Lower returns on cotton and high production costs persuaded all the other guys with competition from corn and beans to start shifting out of cotton. That's another reason why it keeps shifting toward the Gap region and an increasingly growing, surprise to me, livestock industry. Other problems, got some pests, budworm, bollworm, and in the regions closer back, more toward Izmir, Istanbul, was where they have problems with bollworm, budworm. And as you know, no BT, no genetically modified seed planted in Turkey. So there was a baseline, that's just if you keep everything the way it is, when we did the scenario. Scenario one, as you can read, Turkey accedes to the EU and receive only EU payments. Scenario two, you can read that one. Scenario three, they receive no payments. Just a little graphical there of what will happen from the results of the simulation. But here is kind of what I like. And basically what this tells you, look to the far right. If you don't have any payments, you don't have any cotton production. That bodes well for the U.S. since they're, by Christine's article, they've passed China in a week or so of buying raw cotton. This is our second largest market for raw cotton, Turkey. We're very interested in what their cotton production looks like and getting a feel for it with the implications. When you're in a 90% export market like the U.S. is, you need homes for cotton. And with China's policies that they have now, that they are likely to change this year, sitting on a massive reserve, I don't think I agree with O.A. Cleveland that they're not going to dump that all on the market. But China has quite a lot of cotton that they have sitting there. It's very important to us what's going on here. Continued support payments likely necessary, as we just said, the shift in cropping patterns due to competition from corn in the south to the east areas. They have a growing textile industry, and the market for U.S. cotton, this will be an important place for us to ship cotton to. So with most of the cotton leaving the U.S. going out of Los Angeles and Long Beach, the cotton going to Turkey leaves normally from the east coast. So that's why it's very important. We still have Greenville, Spartanburg as a destination place for cotton. So I apologize again for doing a very poor job on Mickey's work. He could certainly do a lot better, and you can address all your questions to him. Thank you.